State. Elliott off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown.
Samuel cuts it back. Ohio State wins.
Baskin spreading out, sets up deep over the middle. Touchdown, Buckeyes.
Fields has time. Watches downfield. It's Olave. He's got a touchdown. Ohio State.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the QB Draw. We have been absent, but, you know, there really hasn't been too much to talk about, at least on the field, off the field. Sure, we probably missed some spots there. But yeah, Ohio State beat Michigan State, and then they beat Minnesota, and now it's time for the game. Jim Harbaugh will not be on the sideline, obviously. Michigan folded their legal argument as it became clear there was more damning evidence in the hands of the Big Ten and the NCAA. Beyond that, we don't really know how this is going to shake out. I think pretty much all of us here are assuming, I think correctly so, that this is it for the Harbaugh regime at Michigan. This is their last gasp.
Emphasis on regime.
Yeah, right. And the fact that it's going to happen without Harbaugh, at least in the regular season, is just sort of a telling sign of how things are going there. But it's kind of beyond the point. They're going to play on the football field this week. And while that doesn't really impact the investigation and Michigan's future, it's obviously the only thing that matters right now. And you know, for as good as Michigan looked to start the year, and for as many questions as we had about Ohio State, I think we're feeling pretty much as good as you can at this point. Given the circumstances of the season. So, John, Jack, how are y'all doing?
John, go ahead.
Yeah, we're good. You know, like we said, we were just talking before we started recording, this season's kind of gone sort of the way we thought it would, right? Like, I think you give or take a couple things. I think winning at Notre Dame in the way that they did was really cool. Winning at Wisconsin the way that they did was, less cool. I think the team seems to be peaking at the right time, right? There's still some concerns that loom about Kyle McCord and what he's doing as a quarterback. But I think largely at this point, we're just ready to strap him up and play the game, right? And, we're year three now of basically a winner take all kind of scenario for the winner of this game. And, I can't help but feel like this is the best chance we've had in the past couple of years to finally do what we need to do and win.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm going to say this about a Ryan Day team, but it seems like they're in the right headspace going into Michigan. Obviously that could be proven wrong on Saturday, but it seems like last year, 2021, they were just sort of, they thought they were hot shit and thought they were untouchable. And, you know, maybe they had the flu, who cares? 2022, they were just like ultra tense, ultra tight, like perfectionists in the worst way possible, where you become, the opposite of perfect. And they also had some really shitty players playing on defense, but that's neither here nor there. And this year it just seems like they're not calm, but they know what the job is. They are well aware of the stakes, but it's not letting them not letting it eat them up inside. Jack, how do you feel about the team right now?
I think you described it pretty well. I mean, obviously we all remember last year's game, and I think I'll speak for myself here, but the defense, I was kind of willfully ignorant. As I've said, it's a fact of life. You know, sometimes you do it, but this year, I think, you know, we said it on one of the first episodes of the season, this team can do anything they want to. You know, there are just certain progressions they need to make. And I think it's gotten better as the season has gone on. Now, I know Minnesota and Michigan State aren't the cream of the crop, even in, you know, their own division, but the football they're playing, man, like even last year, you know, we've seen teams in the past with good offense or good defense, and they're just not, they don't seem as focused, you know, like, yeah, you know, we've got the talent and Ohio State will always have the talent, but this year it seems like there's a focus and a want to, and it seems like the whole defense starting with Jim Knowles is willing to, you know, put it all on the line because they know that they can win games. So I think I'm feeling good. I think last year it was sort of, like you said, it was tense, but as a fan, it was like, oh, you know, we're going to win. It was a little reserved for me. And the year before, you know, I didn't think anything of it. It's Michigan. Who fucking cares? But this year I feel like I did in the previous, you know, 8 or 10, like there's a confidence, but also an awareness, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
That's yeah. I think that's a good way to describe it. And I think, you know, Ohio State playing better the last few weeks, I'd say. Kyle McCord obviously played great against Michigan State. Not as good against Minnesota, but if he just needs to get the ball to his playmakers, and I'm sure Ryan Day, you know, for all we say about him, will have a good game plan to get those guys open for him. He just has to make the throws. I think they can survive a Kyle McCord pick, because I think they're going to pick off JJ McCarthy.
Is he going to throw the ball?
I'd assume so. I think they have to, because our run defense is too stout. I think he's going to have to, you know, obviously. And the other part of our sort of cautious confidence, I'd say, is because Michigan has just not looked very good.
Without
the recruiting intern,
without their low level recruiting staffer, right? Who you know is analyst. Clearly no one knows the guy. He just comes to the building and gets coffee, whatever. Had no impact on the field. They haven't looked as good. They looked like legitimately dominant, like deserving number one team for I think the first part of the season. And they've looked good. I mean, they're not a bad team now, but they just they haven't looked nearly the same level of death machine, I'd say. JJ McCarthy especially, you know, wasn't asked to throw the ball against Penn State. Was quite bad against Maryland. Probably should have been picked off three times instead of one.
What you don't understand is the sun was bright.
Right.
Yeah. It was too bright there.
Yeah, there was a Michigan. Maybe it was MGo blog or one of the other fan sites that said that blamed the weather in that the sun was making the ball hard to catch. Which, like it was like baseball.
I'm old enough to remember like the fucking Northwestern game from last year, right? That legitimately happened in a monsoon, and they you know,
okay.
Michigan fans were watching that trolling, saying like, "Oh, you know, you should be able to throw the ball no matter what the weather." But like now, it's too bright and too sunny. Like we can't pass the ball. I don't know. Like I think I mentioned it to you guys, and I've said it like before, but like it's a little bit concerning. I think like as JJ McCarthy, right? Like this is supposed to be the pinnacle, right? He spent the whole year, you know, like you said, early half of the year, kind of quietly building up this sort of Heisman case, right?
He was the favorite according to the betting odds.
There was that week that everybody was talking about it. And then the Penn State game happens. And poof, he's off the board. And like, I don't even know, like, I gotta imagine it's hurting his draft stock at this point. Right.
You'd have to think.
And as a competitor too, like you gotta think like, holy shit. Like I've been busting my ass in this program for 3 years. Like, and they're not going to trust me to try and get it done. Like when it matters the most, I don't know. Like, I think there's an element to this too that might help Ohio State in that it feels like they are single threaded to the playoff at this point, right? Like, I don't think that there's a life raft that's going
to
come.
I don't think, there'd have to be legit chaos. I don't think this is if USC chokes, you're in.
And I feel like last year they almost kind of gave themselves the rope to hang themselves with in regards to like, you know, oh, well, whatever, you know, you're a one loss team. There really weren't that many other good teams out there. But yeah, I guess maybe you take from that and you play free, right? From the fact that like, hey man, like we're on the road here too. I think last year's Ohio State team, I think the fan base was just kind of tense the whole year. And I think that it showed in the team as well.
I think it came from the top. I think Ryan Day was it came from everybody, but he especially was just like tightly wound. And it's not that he's like Mr. Cool this year, but I think he's channeling that angst into more positive places. I could just be totally off the mark.
No, I think you're right. I think you saw it after the Notre Dame game. He called out Lou Holtz, and think about that however you want. But, like, you know, there have been things said about his teams, and he gets a rap.
By us.
Right. Well, that's fair. That's fair. But he gets a rap because two of his six losses have come to a team that, what do you know, they were cheating and knew his signals. So, obviously, that's all hindsight, and if we're looking at the Notre Dame win. But I think there is kind of just a more relaxed – aura.
Because again, like if you're gonna build a pressure chamber around a quarterback like Kyle McCord, he's gonna fucking explode. I think you kind of had the ability and the pressure with a guy like CJ Stroud, who clearly, like, look at what he's doing in the NFL, like, clearly has the talent.
He's the MVP, right?
Yeah, so, like, again, things get difficult in that way, and you know, it's like, I don't know. Like, I just feel better about this team this year. And again, like, if it comes back to bite us in the ass, it comes back to bite us in the ass. But, like,
yeah, who cares? We were wrong last year, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye bye, Ryan. Exactly. Day.
Yeah. But yeah. And, like, sort of the other thing about Ryan Day is, like, even if you believe that Michigan's cheating scheme had no impact on the field, which none of us here believe.
Well, I was born yesterday, so that is what I believe.
Yeah, but even if there's some distinct chance, even if there's some tiny chance that it really didn't help them that much, Ryan Day clearly believes that it did. And I think that has to be freeing for him and the team. You know, when this came out, it was like the Penn State week, and I said things just felt looser. You know, it inspired a coalescence of the team and the fan base and the coach. It's like, hey, we know the last 2 years have been crap and things didn't go our way and everyone's mad. But hey, our biggest rivals, the team that we came out of the womb hating, might have cheated us out of two wins against them. So it was definitely a rally around the flag effect, I think. And I think that has carried throughout the season. And I think it has had a positive impact on the team. So the impact of the cheating scandal in that sense is somewhat immaterial, in that I think it has brought all of Ohio State, everyone in the Ohio State orbit, back together with one goal, and that's winning this game, obviously.
Yeah, it's like Michael's secret stuff in Space Jam, right? Like, and it
you just needed it, something.
Yeah. And sort of similar in some ways, maybe to the Kirby Smart 7-5 thing from a year ago, which is like complete horseshit. But, like, ultimately, if it works, it works.
If your guys believe it, like, and if you believe it, then who cares?
Yeah, well, and there's, like you said, like 2 years ago, there's the element of how the hell did we lose that game? And then last year, again, you have the same thing, like, how the hell did we lose that game? And, like, if you can even look and find an excuse and all of a sudden Goliath doesn't look so big, you know, I think you can kind of, as a team, psychologically overcome that, right? And you maybe even talk yourself into, hey, it's pretty level playing field. And again, think... like,
oh, go ahead,
look at what you look at what Michigan's put out on the field the last couple of weeks, and it don't look like it did at the beginning of the year.
It's not a monster, right? You know, even if they are a monster, it doesn't look like one. And that mindset helps a lot going to the game, I think.
I think it's important that you noted loose, but not sloppy, because, you know, you can be loose because you're taking dumb penalties. You're not paying attention. You're not ready, but it's loose as in, like, okay, you know, we'll let our shoulders breathe. We're not clenching for anything. It's loose, like relaxing, like relieving.
Yeah.
And I think you can see it most with the defense, honestly. The offense is what it is. Last year's offense was one of the best I've seen in my lifetime wearing that uniform. But I think the defense, and even Jim Knowles himself, I think last year he was a little more reserved and, you know, he was kind of I don't want to say out of his element because it's his job to call defensive plays, but I think he was, you know, in a new world, didn't know what to expect. And this year he's had, this is his second year with the guys, you know, and people are playing like they're supposed to. So I think that's something that you, like you said, you can't account for. And even though it's 3.5 point spread, you know, always good to play the underdog role because it doesn't come around too often. So
yeah.
No excuse. No excuse. Unless, you know, unless Kyle McCord and Marv and Tommy Eichenberg and everybody's legs get chopped in half, you know, after the first snap, no excuse.
Yeah, I'd say they have, like, Ryan Day obviously has to win this game. I will say, like, for – it does give me some, like, greater sense of zen this week. And I won't feel this at all on game day. But in the bigger picture, it does feel nice that, like, this is it for them. Like, I think we already, even take away all the scandal stuff, like, I think we already knew this was, like, the pinnacle of Michigan's window because they have, like, 50 fucking seniors on their team, and they haven't exactly been recruiting very well lately.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at what's going on the recruiting trail and see, like,
they've got, like, one top 100 prospect in their 2024 class. It's like,
and again, like, you look across the country, there are other teams that are, like, that have seniors that are recruiting really well, right? And, you know, I don't want to read too much into any of the crystal ball shit or the on three prediction shit, but Michigan putting in predictions for Bryce Underwood to go to LSU, I don't want to say it makes me think that, like, maybe, again, like, landing Bryce Underwood was always a Hail Mary. But, like, maybe the word
is crazy because he's from Michigan. But
yeah,
that's three in a row. Dante Moore, CJ Carr.
Well, yeah, it makes you think that, like, maybe Jim's already put the word out that, like, yo, like, listen, I'm not gonna be there. I'm not gonna be here. I'm not gonna be around next year.
Yeah,
right.
Very true.
Yeah, like, it's a really weird situation that they've found themselves in, and you know, like you said, like, I feel like we're there. I will say, though, like, it's a must win for Ryan Day, but is it, you know, like, I don't think he's getting fired.
I think it would. I don't think he's getting fired, even though he should be if they lose. But I think it will become a more mainstream take that he's on the hot seat. I think it will.
Yeah,
become...
I think we are close. Like, I think we were looking back, we were kind of crazy for saying he'd be on the hot seat this year. But I think next year, like, and again, we probably do next year need a couple more losses, right? Like, he had his opportunity to be on the hot seat, if not fired, if he loses this game, if they lose to Notre
Dame.
Like,
to Notre Dame. They probably have to be 9-3 for him to legitimately get fired this year.
But remember, I think, all of the 9-3 takes, by the way? Like, there were...
I will give him credit. He just doesn't lose except in the biggest games.
He's the anti-Urban Meyer.
Yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
Urban had the boys jazz for the big games, but could, Jack said, loose versus,
Purdue.
Like, calm.
West,
like,
Lafayette, yeah.
Yep, you're just sloppy, you know, you make decisions to not give Zeke the ball and, you know, to punish him for something against Michigan State, you know, and you lose those games. But, like, Ryan Day takes care of business. Like I said, he's like the Dow Jones index, right? Like, he's meant to just keep going up, right? But, yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to, you know, again, and, you know, firing a head coach, losing a head coach is probably going to result in losing a very special recruiting class. Especially because in doing so, you probably lose Hartline. And if you lose Hartline, you lose Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah, unless you hire Hartline. But that's a whole different comfort. He's not getting fired after this, even if we think – if they lose. He's not getting fired after this if they lose, even if we think he should be. But I do think it will enter – a more national conversation that's beyond us fringe lunatics that maybe he should be at some point, or maybe he is under the microscope now. And sort of all the concern trolling about, oh, he's 11. He goes 11-1 every year, blah, 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 blah. Like, I think that will go away. Maybe not go away, but there will be a more a legitimate discussion about it in sort of mainstream outlets, I think, because if you say your goal every year is to beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, and win the national title, and then you go 0-3, 0-3, 0-3, like, there has to be some sort of discussion, right? Like, there just has to be. But the good thing about that is I don't think any of us think Ohio State's going to lose. I think what was I going to say? I think their secondary is good but gettable. You know, Will Johnson, obviously very good. But I feel confident that Emeka looking good again is huge. Underrated thing that's massive. But, like, I think Emeka, between Emeka, Marv, Cade, and then hopefully Trey in the passing game, if they use him, which they should, I think they're going to be able to find enough gaps for throwable windows for Kyle. And I think, you know, I'm kind of, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm kind of looking for a big Cade game. I think this has to be one where if they're loading up on Marv and Igbuka, and they're, I just can imagine him finding some soft spots in that defense.
Yeah, I agree.
And then running after the catch for some chunk gains. Like, I could be totally wrong. That's just, I just sort of feel like that's going to happen. Obviously, he still can't block or still doesn't block. But I mean, this is obvious. I mean, this is why, I mean, he's like a fifth year. He's a captain. He has to get it done. And I think he's going to be rearing to go. I'm sure that sounds like a talk show radio point, but I just can imagine, like, I'm not going to say like he's going to get 175 yards, but I think he could get like 87 big 60, yards and a touchdown.
I think he's also got a few big, like, third and five, third and four.
Yeah, he
third
makes
and
up
six.
For his he makes up for his drop on fourth down last year, which, to be fair to him, wasn't a great throw either. But yeah. I think he redeems himself from that and comes through in some clutch spots. Obviously, you know, Marv's going to do what he's going to do. It just depends, really, I guess, if he can break one for the end zone or if he gets tackled.
The thing is, too, is if they shut him off, right? If the game plan is to shut him off,
you like, can just do that.
Igbuka is getting there.
Fleming is like you said. Bad. Cardinal Tate's
Trey
probably
out of
get
the
some backfield. Yeah.
Yep. Like,
See, you think, or I mean, I agree with you about a Cade game. Like, you know, I think we will see a couple of important catches, but I think Tate catches a touchdown. And I know my dumb brain is only telling me this because Garrett Wilson did it as a freshman in 19.
I was just going to say that. That's the Garrett Wilson move. Yeah.
You look at Marv, it's going to take more than what you want to offer, ideally, to cover one guy. And then if you're going to do that and try to take away Igbuka, like, there's only so many guys in the secondary, right? Like, Tate's a very talented guy. I think he's probably the fourth still, even though Fleming's just a blocker at this point. But I don't know, man. Like, just one catch, you know, a 7-yard or a 17-yard touchdown, and then he does nothing for the rest of the game. But he will be remembered.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, like, I feel confident about where the running game is. Like, Trevion Henderson with a win here, he's got a chance to, like, elevate himself into,
pick.
Like,
right.
Well, and into, like, Buckeye,
like, Buckeye
lore, sort
right.
of.
Like, as the guy who, you know, and we talked about this pre-show, like, we probably underrated how hurtful it was to be down, like, your top three or four running backs last year. And it felt like at the start of the season, Trey kind of looked closer to his sophomore year than he did his freshman year. But the past few weeks, basically ever since he came back from injury, I mean, he has looked like everything we wanted him to be. He still has his flaws. You know, he's not fucking, I don't even know a comparison. Like, he's not Marshawn Lynch, obviously. He's not going to bowl a guy over and get three tough yards most of the time. But if he gets any sort of crease, he can flip a game instantly. And I think, like, it's massive to have him, as far as we know, fully healthy going into this game. Because he just has a chance to change the game. And I hope they use him in the pass game. You know, there's a lot of pressure points that this offense has from different spots. You obviously have the receivers, But then you have Cade and Trey over the middle of the field in the flats. And I think, obviously, Michigan hasn't faced anything like it this year. And I think they're going to be able to move the ball. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, I don't think they're going to shut them down. But because Michigan recently always just seems to find a way against us to get things they shouldn't be able to get. But I don't think it's the floodgates are going to be open like they were the past 2 years. And I think the defense is going to keep them reasonably in check. You know, if these two teams were generic A and generic B, and I just had seen the past 3 weeks of Michigan's offense and Ohio State's defense, I'd say Ohio State was going to hold them to 3 points. But they're right. Obviously not. And I don't think it's right to assume that after the past two seasons, they just have them figured out. Now maybe the reason Michigan had our number is the cheating. Obviously the amount of that is inquantifiable but and unknowable to us. Even if we believe it did have a large impact. I don't think it's fair for us to assume they're just going to shut them out. No biggie. But I do think the defense will hold them in check much better than they did the past two seasons.
Absolutely agree. I also all think, right, so
go ahead, Jack.
I was going to say, I also think, you know, we mentioned JJ's struggles, but the defense, you know, for everything you want to say, you know, who, what offenses they played, whatever, they've given up 10 touchdowns in 11 games. It's the fewest in the country. They're giving up 9.2 something points a game. Michigan is at like 9 even, and they've played far worse offenses, I would argue. So I think the defense will have a chance to kind of make a name for themselves this year specifically. You know, it doesn't really matter who moves on, but I think this is kind of what Knowles is waiting for. You know, it took him 3 or 4 years to get that at Oklahoma State. Obviously at Ohio State, you don't really get that sort of time, but I think with what we've seen the past few weeks from the running backs from Michigan, even though they had a couple of chunk plays against Penn State and the passing game, and the O-line, I think it's very clear that this is not a team that is like Georgia. Like, they don't even need your defense at that point, which is funny considering it's a Kirby Smart team. Like, you know, it's not an Oregon or a Washington. It's not going to be a track meet. This is a team that, you know, if you can take away one or two small things that they're used to doing, boy, shit might hit the fan. You know what I mean? Like, you know, first down. You hold them to 1 or 2 yards of carry, and it's 2nd and 8, 2nd and 7 instead of 2nd and 3 like they're used to. You know, that doesn't sound like a huge difference, but it could throw off everything. So, you know, you're passing an earlier down, something like that. So I think if the defense comes out aggressive but not stupid, I'll feel much better. I'm looking at you, number one. I love you, but just keep your head on.
Yeah,
keep
don't be stupid. Yes. Don't do G Scott. Don't be.
We do not need.
Don't be now, Ronnie Hickman in the fucking end zone.
Now, if we, you know, a well-timed penalty.
Yeah, if they're up at the end, if you're up at the end and the game's in hand, have at them, man. I don't want anyone to get maimed, but if you need to take a shot to get sort of level some frontier justice, I get it.
If we're up by 10 with, you know, 13 seconds left and Michigan's still running plays and McCarthy drops back and Ty Lee says, maybe you are trash. Finish the hit late, big dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing crazy, but if you need to get something out of your system, if the game's in hand, then go for it. You know, like let's keep it humane, but you know,
set the tone.
Yeah. We don't want a Myles Garrett situation to erupt.
No.
But yeah. So do we want to do predictions now?
Yeah, let's do it. I can go first since I already put mine out on Twitter. I'm going 27-23, Ohio State. I obviously after the last 2 years, I'm not confident. I'm not confident in the big picture going into this game, but on all the micros, it's kind of a weird because usually when you're conflicted as a sports fan, your head is telling you, your team's going to lose and your heart's telling you there's going to win. My heart's not telling me we're going to lose here, but it's the thing behind my prediction is more rational thought, because I just watched these two teams the last few weeks, and Ohio State just looks better. And I know Ohio State has better players. That doesn't change the fact that Ryan Day's number has been had by Harbaugh, who, to be fair, isn't going to be there, but his number has been had by, I'd say, all of Michigan's staff the past few years. But with that said, I think because Ohio State just has better players, especially they're pretty similar teams across the board, but Ohio State just has skill guys that Michigan cannot match. So I think that'll be the difference. And I think that whatever advantage Michigan gained from their cheating scandal obviously is not going to be in effect anymore. And I think not having their head coach on the sideline, even though he is more of a CEO type, will cause enough turmoil, not necessarily inner turmoil, but more enough chaos, I think, on game day to tilt things in Ohio State's favor. I think they win 27-23. You could tell me either team wins in a blowout, and I would not be shocked. Who really knows? But I'll stick with 27-23.
All right, Jack, you want to go?
Yeah. I don't think I've tweeted it. I don't think I've told you guys. I've told my other friends, but I think 24 points wins this game. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, because it's not. This is college football, not the NFL. Given what we're used to, I think the winner of this game has scored a lot more than that, you know, for the last 10 years or so. I don't know if I can give an exact score. I'll say something like 23-16. You know, we're taking a lot of field goals on both sides. Touchdowns are few and far between, but I think whoever scored three touchdowns first, if at all, wins. You know, it's like the Penn State game. That was 20-12, and that was low scoring. And I think this will be more of the same, maybe not as low scoring, but like you said earlier, loose. And I like that description. I think it's good that they're an underdog. Yeah. You know, betting doesn't mean everything. Vegas says that on a neutral field, this would pretty much be a toss up. So I think they come in and win a narrow game. As much as I would love a 2-score win, I think it's a close win. But I also think we're kind of, not we, I mean, I've been hating on them all year, but I think a lot of people, especially on the Michigan side, are kind of, you know, they're doing what I did last year and the year before. There's a little bit of willful ignorance. Oh, well, yep. You know, the O-line, this and that, and this and that, and this and that. Oh, well, you know, JJ, this and that. Oh, well, you know, it's the week before Ohio State, yada, yada, yada. There, even if those problems have just popped up recently, there are very clear problems. Very clear. It's like Ohio State the past 2 years. They've been flawed. Their flaws are known, and just because Michigan was a war machine to start the year against my beloved Falcons and the East Carolina Pirates doesn't mean that's what they are now. You know, they kind of started on opposite ends of the spectrum. They finished the season kind of flip-flopped, you know, like the anti-hero. Ohio State started off bad, you know, 23-3 win against Indiana and gave up a touchdown to an FCS school, and they've gotten better, whereas Michigan, like last year's Ohio State, started off too hot, you know, something happens, they're not as good. So I'm going to say along the lines of 23-16, but like as said, you know, this is a 31-13 ball game on either side. I'm not shocked. Only thing that would shock me would be like a score resembling last year's score or the year before, unless it's in my favor. But yeah, I'll say 7-point win, Bucks come out on top. Playoff, here we come.
I'm going to go 24-21. I think same logic as Jack. I think 24 points seals it. I think Ohio State goes into the half, you know, up 17-14. And I think they come out and score a touchdown, get the lead to 10. And so it's 24-14. And then you know, again, like they just hold Michigan at bay. I think this is going to be a great football game. I think, you know, I think what Jack said is true. I think a lot of fans, you know, the scripts have flipped. I think in Ohio State fans were overly confident about this game the past few years. I think Michigan fans are overly confident about it now. I think we restore order, and I think we march on to the playoff, right? And you know, I think all in all, it's going to be great to get some golden pants on the seniors, right? This is their first chance, or their chance to get their first golden pants, right? Which were
a gross thing
that was overlooked for a long, long time, but I think it's going to start to mean something soon here. And again, get Marv out of here a win at Michigan, and you know, maybe Ibuka and Stover and all those other guys too. But yeah, I think all in all, I think we're going to win this one. And yeah, we'll be back, I think, to recap the game next week.
We'll see. Yeah. I'm not going to make any promises. I think there's a result, one result. Well, both could likely end up in a suspension, but there is a result that if it were to occur, my Twitter account would probably be down before Sunday. So this might have to be the only outlet for people to hear me, but we'll see.
Well,
you'll all find out.
You know, as our loyal listeners all know, I think the spot since this podcast's inception, despite our spotty schedule where we have delivered no matter what, is when Ohio State loses. Because
there will be a podcast.
So,
right? If Ohio State wins, we may not record, but if we lose, there we're sure as shit be our podcast.
Yeah. I'll say if they lose, we will get to recording much quicker than if they win. Because if they win, it's just gonna be party time.
I'm not gonna. Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll talk to you guys soon either way. Go Bucks. Fuck Michigan.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Woo!